that we can come here again, Lord, to have church, Lord. And Father, you brought us together, Lord, because you have something you want to say to us. It's on your heart, Lord, and we just want to be here to receive it, Father. I just pray each one of us would just make the effort, Lord, to die to our own ideas, our thoughts, to surrender to you and let you come and minister to us that which you have for us, Lord, to give us strength to press the battle, Lord. We're fighting demons on the left and right and in the front and in back and above us and below us. Sometimes we just seem so beat down, so much pressure against us, Lord, and yet we know that, Lord, according to your word, you are pressurizing us, you are preparing us, you are bringing us to a place, Lord, that you can use us to your ultimate glory, Lord Jesus. And so help us, Father, just today to gain strength from the word that we can press the battle, Lord, that you can come and have your own way, Lord Jesus, that we can reflect Christ to this dark age, Lord, because Lord, this is the only way people are going to be saved, Lord, if they can see light. What a privilege you've given us. What a responsibility that you've given us, Lord, to be what you would have us to be, Lord. And then, Lord, we know that in our own selves we're totally incapable. There's no way we can do this, Lord. But, Father, when we allow you to come in and do the work, Lord, then we can be all that you require. What a relationship. What a fellowship we have with you then, Lord Jesus. So, Lord, today, just strengthen that relationship, Lord. Help us to know you. Reveal yourself, Lord, that we can see you more clear than ever before. We ask this in your name, Lord. Amen. If you turn in your Bibles to Luke, we're going to read just a verse here and be seated. Luke 23. We're going to start at verse 26. Luke 23 and 26. We spoke on the thought of a dry tree on Thursday. We're just going to pick up from there and keep going. We left off Thursday, Luke 23, 26. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country. And on him they laid the cross, and that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in which they will say, Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bare and the paps that never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? You may be seated. Do these things in the green tree. Brother Branham spoke about how that was here with Christ, the beginning. He was the green tree. And he said, they were doing this. They were crucifying him then in that body when there is no fault in him at all. Even Pilate said, I find no fault. He said, what's going to happen when this old formal cold church, or even lukewarm church, I should say, what's going to happen in that dry tree when the wrath of God falls on that? So we want to go back again to Jeremiah. We'll just read a few verses here. Jeremiah 5, we'll just set up a foundation. Some of you weren't here Thursday, so this will help get everyone on the same page. Jeremiah 5, going to read, start at verse 25. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. Isn't that amazing? Our sins have withholden good things from us. But yet, we see so many sinners so blessed, right? So obviously that's not just talking about worldly, natural things. Look at all the spiritual blessings that we don't have because of our iniquities, simply not believing. For among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait as he that setteth snares. They set a trap. They catch them. That's a deception, brother, sister. They're being deceived. As a cage of full birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Therefore they are become great and waxen rich because of the deceit, brother and sister. The preacher is preaching it in a way that's deceptive, and because of this they grow rich. They are waxen fat, they shine, yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked, that just ignoring the wicked. They judge not the cause of the fatherless, yet they prosper in the right of the needy. Do they not judge? Shall I not visit for those things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? So he says, I'm going to bring a vengeance. I'm going to bring a judgment on them. A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. Wow. And what will you do in the end thereof? My people love it to be deceived. They love to have them false prophets. They love it because it scratches their ears. I want to hear preaching a certain way. I like it a certain way. I want to go to a certain kind of church. I want to be a certain kind of Christian. And if you have to lie to me to allow that, then I'm fine with that. They love to have it so. He said, then what's going to be the end of you? Let's find out. Revelation 6. Revelation 6 and verse 12, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and mighty men and every bondsman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the faith of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? That's the end, brother and sister, of these people. Not completely, it's the end here on earth, because there's still going to be a great judgment coming. Brother and sister, when people prefer to be lied to, when they prefer to have it their way, when they ignore God, when they don't fear God, when they want things their own way, then wrath comes. Judgment has to come. And I'll tell you the truth. I came this morning. I had two messages to preach. And even when I was back there just a few minutes ago, I didn't know which one to preach. And one was on judgment, and one is what we're preaching now. And so I think maybe the next time I preach, we'll go all the way to that judgment. But, there's so much going on. I'm still not sure, I guess. We'll just start preaching and see what happens, all right? Sixth seal. The sixth seal is the tribulation seal. It's going to be the worst time that's ever been on earth. You do not want to go into the tribulation. You want to be raptured beforehand. Because if you go into tribulation, there's going to be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth and so horrible things that we can't even consider. We can't even think about what it could be. And brother and sister, the world is preparing itself for the tribulation. Our minds are being prepared. All the things we do, the things we do, the things we say, the media, the politicians, the lying and all that. People look at our politicians. Look how we know there's people lying to us, and yet we say, I don't care. I'm going to vote for them anyways. We don't care anymore about stuff like that. We want things the way we want them, and if you have to lie to me, I'm fine with that. I just want my way. What is that, brother and sister? That's what Satan had. Look at Satan, Lucifer in the beginning. He was up there in heaven. There was absolutely nothing wrong going on. He had no trials. He had no problems. He was just up there worshiping God. Everything was perfect. But Lucifer wanted his own way. Ain't that something? Iniquity was found in his heart. And even in that perfect paradise, he wasn't satisfied. Now, in the millennium, it's going to be so awesome. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be perfect. We are going to have a ball. And yet, there are going to be people rise up and say, I don't like it this way. It blows my mind. Except you look at the whole world and say, well, why? Because inside, from the heart, they had a heart following Lucifer. I want my own way. And here you are, you bride, and God sitting there, and you're ruling with a rod of iron, and I just chafing under all this pressure to do what's right. I don't like it. I want to have my own way. Why do you get to be in charge? Why do you get to rule? I want to be in charge.
Boy, that doesn't go very far from home, does it? It's the same spirit that says, well, Brother Jerry, I don't know why you have to do things this way. Why can't you do it the way I want it to be done? Tell me that's not the same spirit. Tell me all of us haven't been afflicted by that. Well, I don't know about this. You know, when we sit and talk about someone or something, the way things going on, it's that spirit. Think about it. Well, I don't like the way Brother Paul does this. I don't think he should do it this way. Well, it's not my business. Who am I to be in charge of Brother Paul? Oh, our old nature is just nasty, brother and sister. Our old nature is nasty. And when we give in to it, we become nasty. Brother Bram says this, notice the last verse of the sixth seal opened. Those who had laughed at the preaching of the word, of the vindicated word of the living God. Now let me tell you, stop right here. You can laugh, people laugh at the Bible. They say, oh, that old Bible ain't nothing. Oh, the message ain't nothing. And you know what? It's going to be bad, but it's not going to be all that bad for them because there's no proof. But when it's been proved to you it's true, then you're going to get in trouble. Vindicated. Because you and I have rejected the Bible, we've rejected the preaching, we've gone out, we've left the church, we've done all kinds of crazy stuff, and here we are, back in church, serving God. Why? How come we didn't blaspheme the Holy Ghost? How come we didn't go too far? Because for whatever reason, when the vindicated word was opened to us, we said, oh, I see that, I accept that. See what I mean? It's got to be vindicated. It's got to be proven. Brother Branham said, if you just read the Bible and you believe it, it just means you can read. But when it's proven to you and you see the proof right there, you say, oh, I get it. But then those people who laughed at the preaching, when their prophets have stood there, performed miracles, closed the sun, everything else, all down through the age, they cried for the rocks and mountains to hide them from the word they laughed at. So here in the tribulation period, people are going to stand there, and they're message believers right now, but they're going to stand there, and they say, you know what? I didn't think nothing of that church in Dixon. I thought they were a bunch of cranks, and now they're all gone. What happened to them? Because it was vindicated, and they didn't like it. It's really that simple. It's really that simple. You can go out and argue with someone. Well, you believe what Brother Branham said this way. I believe it this way. That's not a big deal, brother, sister. Until it starts living. Until it starts manifesting. And then, brother, sister, to reject that, now you're in trouble. And they're the ones who laughed at it. All down through the age, it was proven. It was proven. And the prophets stood there. They proved it. And the prophets preached. And it was proven. It was proven. And the people laughed at it. They mocked it. They did not like it. They don't want anything to do with this. And now they're sitting there crying, oh, hide us from the wrath, because they realize they really messed up. They had mocked, they had fought against the bride, the vindicated word in each age, because they seen it. Brother Bram says, because they seen him coming. Hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. Let me just read that all together. To hide them from the word they had laughed at, because they seen him coming. They said, hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. He is the word. They've seen him come. What is it? They stand there, and one day you're going to look, not you, but they're going to look around and they're going to say, I thought the rapture was supposed to happen before this happened. What are these hailstones falling down for? What are these horrible things happening in the street? What's going on? The rapture was supposed to come first. All of a sudden, there's two prophets over preaching in Israel. That doesn't come till after the rapture. So if you are here and you see Moses and Elijah rise up in Israel, you can know assuredly you missed the rapture. What a horrible time. And you're going to run to the Bible. You're going to run to the message and say, wait a minute, I believe this. How could I miss this? But I believe the prophet. I believe the message is true. How did I miss it? And somewhere in another dimension, the bride's at a wedding supper, having the time of their life. And you're stuck here. Don't be here, brother and sister. Don't be here. You say, well, I can't help it. Oh, yes, you can. I used to hear this stuff when I was a kid. It scared the fire out of me. I was a kid. It just scared me. I wake up. I remember a couple times I was pretty small, maybe 6 or 7 or 8 or something. And I'd wake up like on a Saturday morning. We had 6 kids, 2 parents in the home, small house. It was always something going on. I wake up and there's absolutely no sound in the house. And the first thing that hit my mind is the rapture happened and I'm the only one left. I jump out of bed. I go running around. I go, someone's got to be here. I remember a couple of times they had got up. I don't know why I had slept later, and everyone had got up, and they're out in the garden or something, doing something. The whole, you know, everyone is out there. Dad is gone or whatever. And I'd see him out in the garden. Oh, it's not too late yet. You see, that's ridiculous, brother and sister. Don't ever teach your kids that. See, I was raised with my parents thought that I couldn't go in the rapture. They thought that if you were not born again by 1963, you couldn't go in the rapture. You'd have to go through tribulation. It's a great way to raise your kids. It's not true. And they made salvation so difficult, so hard, because you had to live such a good life. It was impossible. They held that standard way up here. They weren't living it themselves, but they held that standard way up there. How many preachers have done that? What does it do? It breeds fear into kids, and you grow up being afraid of everything, especially God. Don't let your kids be afraid of God. Because if you want to go into rapture, you can. You just decide. I'm serious. Now, if you have kids who are being rebellious, whatever, don't sit there and say, oh, you're going to be okay, honey. No, they're not. They have to make their own choices. They have to choose to go or not to go. But if you want to go into rapture, if you want to be saved, if you want to be a Christian, all you have to do is accept Jesus Christ. And you're going to a church where the word is preached, where you just accept what's being preached, and you will be born again. Talk about fearless. What does that mean in my mind? I'm going to have it. No, you're going to have stiff. You're afraid and worry about it and all that. That's just part of being a human being. But there's something inside that's at peace. My, it doesn't even make sense. It doesn't. I look at the situation, I said, I should be terrified. I mean, look around, look at the stuff. There's crazy people out there doing crazy stuff. We should walk around just in fear, but we don't. Ain't that awesome? My, there's some of the blessings. What keeps us from the blessings? Our iniquity. Why don't we get some of these things? Why do we have some of the fear and doubts and turmoil and stuff and stress we walk around in? Because of our iniquity, because we haven't surrendered everything to Christ the way we need to. So what does he do? He allows us to go to trials and temptations and struggles and stresses. Say, so you better quit trying to carry your own load there, boy. I got this. Amen. Amen. So they seen him coming. They said, hide us from the wrath of the Lamb, and he is the Word. They saw the Word being fulfilled. They said, oh my goodness, I missed it. How did I miss it? You know what they're going to do? Some of them are going to get on the phone to their preacher and say, you lied to me. You said I was okay. You think that preacher going to answer the phone? No. I heard about 2 of those phone calls, he ain't. Some of them aren't going to be able to do that because they don't have a pastor because they didn't think you needed one. They'll be here. Isn't that horrible? This doesn't make me happy at all. But it's true. They laughed at the Word. And here the Word was incarnate. And they made fun of it. Laughed at them. Made fun of them. And the incarnate Word had dropped forth. What is he talking about? Laughed at them. The incarnate Word laughed at them. You know who he's talking about. It's the bride. The bride, the word had come forth in incarnate. What does that mean, incarnate? It means it's made flesh. And they had mocked the bride. They had resisted the bride. They had hated the bride. They had said all manner of evil against the bride, thinking, it's okay. It's just Brother Wayne. It's just Brother Jim. It's just Sister Cindy. It's just whoever. It doesn't matter. They go to that crazy church. They have that crazy pastor. They don't have, it's no big deal. They mocked it. They laughed at it. They ridiculed it. They withstood it. The incarnate word. And the incarnate word had dropped forth. Brother and sister, when you realize who you are and the responsibility you have to be a light, the responsibility you have that if someone says something evil against the God you serve, against the Christ that is manifest through you, do you realize they go to hell? They're blaspheming the Holy Ghost. What a responsibility we have to live what we say we live, what we believe. And then we go out and sass off to someone and they get a bad attitude towards us. Let me tell you right now, if they get a bad attitude because you're old nature, because you're sassing, they're not going to hell over that. Don't even pretend. I'm getting way on my other sermon right now, but that's okay. I remember hearing someone several years ago, they said, well, when someone says something bad about against me, God judges them. I've seen people die or something like that. I'm sorry. Not with that attitude, you don't. The bride doesn't say, well, if you do something bad against me, I can't wait because God's going to get you. Remember who said that? It was the Jews under the fifth seal. God, when are you going to avenge our blood on this earth? Why did they have that? Because they didn't have the Holy Ghost. You get the Holy Ghost and you're not sitting there saying, boy, I can't wait till God gets you. Oh, that thought comes to your mind. Don't pretend it doesn't. But you know that's not you. That's the devil. That's your own nasty nature. Don't pretend that's saved. Your own nature isn't. They had mocked it. Say, why didn't they repent? When they saw the incarnate word, why didn't they repent? Why did they have to mock it? Why did they have to laugh? He said, they couldn't. It's too far then. Think of it, brother and sister. When the word comes to a place where it is so incarnate in you and they look at you and they mock it and they don't like that God in you, it makes them mad. It says it's too late. It's too far then. They cross the line of mercy. So they know that punishment. They hear it. They sit in meetings like this and note about it. They know that the things that those prophets had predicted was looking them right in the face. They heard the message of the hour. They knew the signs of the tribulation. They had sat in church. They had heard the preaching. And then they were looking it right in the face. And it was too late. You realize you're in the tribulation period. You can know it's too late. Now, don't ever think, well, Brother Phil is saying it's too late. No, I am not. I'm saying you get to the tribulation period and it's too late. Up to that point, if there's anything in you to repent at all, please. Please repent. And yet we know that there are going to be people going on preaching and thinking they're being saved long after the time. It's too late. Souls in prison. What a horrible time. Brother and sister, I'm not preaching this. You know, 20 years ago, you know, this is coming. I'm telling you, it's here. These things are happening. Why? How do you know? Because I see Christ being manifest. I see people rejecting Christ. Not rejecting you or me as a person. That spirit inside of us that takes control of situation. The spirit inside that loves no matter what. That spirit inside that's humble. That spirit inside that does not bow to politics. The spirit inside of us that accepts the preaching of the word no matter how hard it hurts. The average person can't do those things. You have to be born again. They said in meetings like this a note about it, and they know that the things that those prophets had predicted was looking them right in the face. Look, everyone knows the world is falling apart. Let me read something here. You talk to anybody on the street. You know what I mean? People at work, even not Christian, whatever, they look around and say, something bad is happening. Things are going to fall apart. You look at all these financial people, oh, our economy is getting ready to crash. You hear it all the time. Well, we knew that. Why? Because 50 years ago, a prophet told us it was going to happen. And now they're telling us. We have all the geologists and all saying, California's going to have a huge earthquake. It's going to fall off and slide under the ocean. They said it. We knew that. Why? Because 50 years ago, a prophet told us these things. And now science is catching up. They made a huge movie about, called San Andreas or something, about this huge earthquake that's going to hit California. I haven't seen the movie, but it's supposed to be just like shatters the whole state. I don't know what it's about. Well, yeah, they're right. They recognize it's going to happen. We knew it. We knew that people are going to be murdering each other in the street. We knew that you're going to have to carry a gun just to keep yourself safe on the street. We knew these things were going to happen. Why? Because a prophet told us a long time ago. And now it's happening. Let me read something Brother Branham said. He said, the older women remembers a few years ago, if their mother or even them would have walked out on the street the way some of these women walk today, church members, they have locked the women up for being insane. She forgot to put on her skirt. Well, if it was insane then, it's insane now. Look how the thing people dressed back when Brother Branham was saying this. They're as modest as can be compared to what you see today. Modest. The things you see on the street, the things you see where you work, everywhere you look around, brother and sister, you can see the insanity. He said it was insanity. You had to be insane. Why? Because you put yourself out there for all those lustful demons to lust after you. That's insane. He said the whole world proves it's insane. Look at the murders and things going on now in the world. See insanity. Over the last, I don't know, 30 or 40 years, whatever, it's become so unpopular to spank your kids. And, you know, the people I work with, almost all, you know, most of them say, oh, you know, spanking is horrible, it's cruel, because it teaches kids to be violent. My, my, my. So we quit spanking kids, and what do we have? A generation of violent kids. Ain't that amazing? Ain't that amazing? Now, compare the violence of our kids now to when we used to spank them. When I was in high school, you could take your hunting rifle and hang it in the back of your pickup and go to school, and no one would have said anything about it. Try it today. You'll be in prison. You can't even draw pictures of guns in school. One kid got kicked out of school because he took a Pop-Tart and bit a piece off so it looked like a gun, and he held it like it was a gun. A Pop-Tart, and he got kicked out of school. Wow. It's insanity. You can't wear shirts with the American flag on it. You can't wear shirts with a military unit, or like your dad's in the military. You can't wear a t-shirt with his like his regiment or something on it, because it's too military. It's violence. But you can wear anything with rainbows. Yes, you can. In fact, you'll be encouraged to do that. You're a hero. You have courage. Murders. People walking into churches and schools and theaters and anywhere people are unarmed and just shooting them down. That's insanity, brother and sister. And you know what our response is? What state was it recently? Virginia. They had several years ago at Virginia Tech, I think. Someone went in there, went into Virginia Tech, the college, chained the door shut, and they started shooting people, killing 32 people. They couldn't get away because he had chained the door shut. They couldn't get out of the building. You know what they recently come up with to make sure that doesn't happen? They said, okay, no one can carry any guns in any state property. The state buildings, you know, and working in the offices and all that. You cannot carry a gun. Oh, my goodness. If I'm insane, I'm going to say, oh, wow, yeah, that really helps. I know where I'm going to go shoot up next. Tell me that's not insanity. Right. My. That's the way we fix things. Oh, by the way, our economy is really bad. We're $20 trillion in debt. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to print money. We're just going to make more. These are the people that we elected into office. And let me tell you something. I'm not trying to get on politics. But we elected Obama into office 8 years ago, whatever it was. And I said, okay, you know, people didn't know. The second time we knew, we put him in again. That's insanity. We knew what we were getting, and we did it again. It is insane, brother and sister. And now Hillary's probably going to be our next president. Someone there, I don't know why I'm getting on this. Well, I am, because it's insane. See, they're having their debate the other night, and one of her competitors also running for president, who is actually he's a socialist, and he's... We're this close to electing a socialist to run this country. It just amazes. And he said, that problem with her illegal use of her emails, he said, that's none of the voters' business. Okay. Then what is our business? Just sit there and let the government give us a handout so we don't have to worry about it. Let the government run your life. And that's what most people want anymore. You take care of me. Make sure I have enough to eat. Make sure I have my cell phone. Make sure I have my internet. Watch my movies and my food and run the show. And that's what people want. It's slavery. It's absolutely slavery. We have gone insane, folks. And what's all this leading up to? We're just going to step right across into that tribulation with hardly even a bump in the road. And then people are going to look around and think, wait a minute, this can't be happening. What are those prophets doing over in Israel? And they're going to turn loose. They're going to just disrupt nature. All the horrible plagues are going to start falling. Moses knows how to do it. Elijah knows how to do it. They did it before. He said the whole thing is coming to fulfill Revelation. We may get to it this week. Where those hideous things, them is not natural. That's spiritual things that people scream for the rocks and mountains, everything else to fall on them. We read in Revelation about how the scorpions and all these different horrible things are coming. Brother Bram talked about the huge birds you'll see flying across and giant ants and all this stuff. Brother and sister, our minds are being prepared. You know, part of it is the medications, the drugs we're taking right now, because some of them are causing this kind of stuff in your head. You can't think straight. And some of it, brother and sister, is the movies we're watching and the video games we're playing and all this other stuff. It's just creating our mind. It's desensitizing us. And so you can play a video game where you get to shoot cops, you get to rape women, you get to steal cars, you can do anything you want. And people say, well, that doesn't affect anyone. If that doesn't affect people, then why do you pay $4 million for a 30-second commercial in the Super Bowl? Because it affects people. It does. So I was arguing with someone about it. Well, I play these violent video games all the time. It doesn't affect me. I'm not violent. No, but listen, you see a lot of commercials all the time too if you watch TV, right? Do you go out and buy everything the commercials tell you? No, but certain commercials, they affect you, don't they? Certain video games affect certain people some way, and now they go shoot someone up. There is something going to affect you, brother and sister. I promise you that. And then what happens? They're going to cry for death, and they won't even be able to die. Isn't that what the Bible says? They will seek death, and they won't be able to find it. And they're going to cry, oh, my goodness, this is horrible. Look at the tribulation. What is it? That they see all these horrible things. They're going to try and say, oh, fall on me. Kill me. Just cover me. Get me out of this world. Let me tell you something. Message believers are going to get it the worst because they're going to know the most. And they're going to have this, I was this close. I was so close. But like Judas at the very end, I sold out. not spiritual things make the people scream for rocks and mountains. The complete, total insanity this world will go into right away. It's almost there now. This was back in 1963. He said, it's almost there now. Well, it's here. It's here. Why, you see the footsteps of it. There it is. It's marching right out on the street, right down the church pew. Total insanity. Do things that a human being wouldn't think of doing and being civilized. Wouldn't think of doing and being civilized. Let's talk about abortion, shall we? You have a baby, you're supposed to kill it, but you make sure it's out of the mother and it's born, and then you harvest it and you kill it afterwards, and that's okay. That's not murder though, right? Let me tell you something. A mother can go and have her fetus. We're not going to call it a baby. It's just a fetus. And she can kill it. And that's okay. But if someone shoots that mother, kills that mother, then he's got a double murder on his hands. Yep. Make sense out of that. Yeah. You're saying, if I'm the mother, I have a right to murder that thing. If you kill me, then you don't have a right to do it. But I can murder if I want to. Because it's mine. It's my body. This is the world we're living in. And it's only getting worse. Should we go crazier? Iran wants nuclear bombs, right? Nuclear weapons. What is their intent? No one has to guess. They want to wipe out Israel and the United States. They'll tell you to your face. And so we decided we're going to make a deal with them to stop them from getting nukes. We're going to, because they said, oh, we want it for peaceful purposes. We want to build these reactors for peaceful purposes, just electricity, right? He said, well, we want to inspect it. So we sat down at a table and talked with them for months, and we came away with this deal that our president wants to enforce. We are going to allow you to do your own inspections, whether you have nukes or not. And we're going to give you $150 billion to do it. Yeah, okay, I'll take that deal. It's insane. Amen. $150 billion to a country that wants to see us totally destroyed and Israel destroyed. And if it destroys them doing it, they're fine with that. Because they believe the end of the world has come right now, and they're all going to be killed off anyways. So they have no problem starting a nuclear war. They'd love to see the world burn up. It's part of their beliefs. They all go to heaven. Look what Hollywood has done to the woman. Look how it is. It's robbed the sacred virtues of the woman. On and on we could go. All that she has lost. How did she do it? How did she get robbed? Because there was a subtle instrument called the church. There's the problem. He said, why do we have the mess in Hollywood? Why do we have the mess in Washington? Why do we have the mess around here? Because a subtle instrument called the church. And a subtle minister standing behind his pulpit said, you know what? That's okay. We're going to just skip over. What did he say in Jeremiah? We're not going to call stand for the just. We're just going to allow this. We're going to ignore this. We're going to ignore this because you know what? I really like this church. You're a good person. It's not that big deal that you follow all the word of God. You can just skip a little here. You can change a little bit here. A subtle instrument called the church like it was in the Garden of Eden. A subtle person, the devil, walked into the church just like he did in the Garden of Eden and deceived her into it. She is deceived. And that, my brother and sister, is why people don't know they're insane. They're insane and they don't know it. It used to be considered moral to be a virgin when you're married, when you get married. Now it's not. Now you're mocked and laughed at. You're some holier than thou goody two shoes. You don't even know what you're doing. You're a moron. That's what Hollywood teaches us. You want to stand for morals? You want to stand for what's right? You are a hater. You hate people. You're judgmental. You think I shouldn't have premarital sex? You're judgmental. You hate people. And don't even start about homosexuals, because you are definitely afraid of them. You're homophobic. You're afraid of them if you don't agree with them. But if you want to go out and get some kind of sex change and change because God made a mistake when he made you, and you want to change it over and become something perverted, well, you're a hero. And the President of the United States will commend you for it. But he won't have nothing to do with those people who come in there back from Iraq and Afghanistan dead and wounded and tore up and all that from the wars. The real heroes. That's the country we live in. That's right. But she's deceived. How did she get deceived? It started right here in the pulpit. It started right here. And the only way you're not going to be deceived is that the person that's preaching to you tells you the truth and you accept it. Because Brother Jerry can stand up here all day long and preach, but if we don't accept it, we're going to be deceived. You still got to accept it. And let me tell you what, your flesh ain't going to like a lot of it. And I'm so glad we've come to a point where we recognize that and we think, yeah, that's just the way it is. Go ahead and preach it, Brother Jerry. Yes, sir. It just fires me. I get so excited. I hear God speaking. I hear the voice of God, and I recognize the voice of God, and I know that voice. It ain't the voice of Brother Jerry. It ain't the voice of Brother Brandon. It ain't the voice of Brother Phil. It ain't the voice. It's the voice of God speaking, and I hear that, and I recognize that voice is putting me in a rapture. Oh, hallelujah. That is all I need to hear. She deceived. The woman thinks she don't mean to be wrong. Eve didn't mean to be wrong. It wasn't willfully. Look, when people reject the bride today, message believers, they look at it, they're not saying, yeah, you're just wrong. You know, I know you're right, but I'm just rejecting you anyways. Judas didn't do what he did thinking that he was going to hell for it. He thought he was going to force Jesus to take over and become king. He thought he was doing Jesus a favor. People who reject preachers today, oh, you just need to listen to the tapes. They're not doing it because they think they're wrong. They think they're right. They're deceived. The Bible said she was deceived. Deceived not one, you willfully do it. It's when you're deceived into doing it. That's just exactly what's happened today. People don't look at the way things are going in Washington, D.C. and say, oh, this is the people they wanted, they don't think, well, I know I'm wrong in this, but I want them anyways. They think this is the best way to go. Bernie Sanders is not a socialist because he thinks I'm going to destroy America. He thinks it's good for America. He thinks we need to become a socialist country because it's so much better than evil capitalism and democracy. People didn't leave this church because they said, well, you know what? I'm just going to decide to be wrong. I know Brother Jerry's right, but I'm going to walk out because I prefer being wrong and going to hell. No, it's because they got too uncomfortable hearing the truth. They said, find a place they could be comfortable. And someone was standing there Someone was standing in a pulpit and said, that's okay. Hey. If you leave this church because God leads you away to go someplace else to do work, whatever, that's where you're supposed to go. If you leave this church because you have a bad attitude towards what's being preached, you need to get right with God. You rejected Christ. That's hardcore, but brother and sister, that's it. I'm not saying you have to go to this church at all. Don't even pretend that's what I'm saying. I'm saying if you leave for the wrong reason, you got a problem. God led you someplace else because he needs to, your gifts are somewhere to work in another ministry, another assembly, whatever. Please go. That's where you have to go. But if you go someplace and some deceiver gets up and says, you're okay. Don't pretend that, well, I was deceived. I didn't know better. You made a choice to be deceived. Ain't that amazing? Satan appealed to Eve's lust. He appealed to what she wanted, and she made a choice. I'm going to believe that. Was she deceived? Absolutely, but she still made a choice. She knew it was not God's word, but she allowed Satan to talk her into it. He's still talking. He's still talking. And the woman, the church, thinks she is all right. She is dead and don't know it. So far from God. See how she lost all this and how subtle it was? I haven't been preaching that long. Did I come out? Wow. I'm sorry. I thought I was... Okay, never mind. I thought I had a long ways to go yet. Let me read a couple more here. The thing that they had rejected, they'd spurn mercy for the last time. And when you spurn mercy, there's nothing left but judgment. When you spurn mercy, just think of it. They had no place to go, no retreat. And the Bible said there they cried to the rocks and mountains has fallen them. Hide them from the face and the wrath of the Lamb. They tried to repent. But the Lamb had come to claim his own. And they cried to the rocks and mountains, prayed. But their prayers were too late. They even tried to repent. Remember Esau? He tried to repent. But he had gone too far. Talking about the Catholic Church. He gave her a space to repent, but she didn't do it. He's done it again. She won't do it. Her rejection makes a perfect way for Satan to come into her and be incarnate. Incarnate himself right in her because she rejected the word. Think of it. God called her to repent. He gave her a space to repent, and she refused to repent. And so what happens? Because she rejected Christ, Satan can come and incarnate himself in her. Because Satan is going to incarnate himself, or God's going to incarnate himself. You're going to be incarnate in one way or the other. And when you reject Christ for the last time, Satan says, aha, I got me another one. She rejected the word. What word? The word made flesh in her day. That's exactly the same thing with the Protestant church becomes a harlot is because she rejects the vindicated truth of the word of God. And that gives the devil a place to come right in and incarnate himself. He will make an image unto the beast when they can consolidate together right yonder now and go on and do just exactly what he said. Brother and sister, this is so happening right now. The Protestant church is becoming incarnate with Satan just like the Catholic church and just like the Muslim and just like every other denomination that has rejected the message of the hour, because only the message of the hour can be the vindicated word. It's true. Everything else has rejected the vindicated word, the word made flesh, the word incarnate, Christ incarnate in flesh. It's only in the bride. Now, does that mean all those other people are going to hell? No, it does not. They're called foolish virgins. And we're going to get into that hopefully in the next message or two whenever I preach again. I want to get into it now, but I just don't have time, obviously. I don't know where the time went. But look, we all talk about how Satan's going to incarnate himself and the Pope is going to be the Antichrist on earth. Absolutely, that's going to happen. But brothers and sisters, there's a lot more incarnations than that too. A lot more than just that. Because he's incarnating himself in the Protestant church and they've made an image unto the beast. What is that, the beast? It was the Catholic church, that organized system of religion. And what did we do? We made an image just like it called the Protestant church. And you say, well, as long as I don't join up with the Protestant church, I'm okay. I'm sorry. So many people take the mark of the beast without even knowing it. You don't have to join a church. You don't have to join in that system. It's a spirit, brother and sister. And if you're sitting here in this church with a spirit of organized religion on you, if you don't get rid of that thing, you're going to take the mark of the beast sitting here in this church. It's a spirit. You don't ever have to put your name on a piece of paper. You don't have to sign up with anybody. You don't have to join any churches out here. You can sit here, and if you have a spirit of organized religion, which is politics, which is I'm going to help Brother Jerry run the church, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Brother, sister, that is that same spirit. You better be careful. One day you'll show up here, and there's no one else here but you. Think about it. I ain't saying this to scare anybody. I'm saying this to to recognize what's going on, recognize our idols, and recognize our mindset to make sure that, brother and sister, when God speaks, we accept it and move forward. Organized religion. It's a curse. What does it mean to be organized? Well, we're going to run our church this way. Well, the Holy Spirit's trying to do this. Yeah, but I know. Brother Branham said here, so we're going to follow this. Let me tell you what. The Holy Spirit's not going to lead you against what Brother Branham said, but a lot of times our own idea, our interpretation of what Brother Branham said leads us against it. That's why we have so many dead churches around, because we don't allow the Holy Spirit to have freedom in it. He wants to use all of us. He didn't bring you here just for you to sit there and have me come up and Brother Nate come up and lead some songs and the musicians play and then you sing and then we sit there and you just sit there. You have a part to play in every service. He wants to use you in every service. Well, what's my job? Maybe it's to pull instead of daydreaming. Maybe it's to pull on the word to bring a need before God. That I need, I have this need. I need you to meet it today, and so that He can come and meet that need. And in that, doing that, it creates an atmosphere where other people's needs can be met. Because some people are just more gifted at pulling on the ministry. Isn't that amazing? Some people are gifted to pray for the service beforehand. If you're not doing your job, someone else is not going to get that blessing. Remember that iniquity? You're not getting the blessings because of your iniquity? That's the kind of stuff we're talking about. The church becomes just a social, we go to church, it's my religious duty kind of attitude. I just don't feel like going today, so I'm just not going to show up. It's not a big deal. I'm not important. You know, when you say you're not important, you know what you're doing? You're denying your own testimony. Because you say God loves you and you're born again, and then you decide that you don't have to come to church, you're denying your testimony that God's doing something in your life. Ain't that amazing? You say, Brother Phil, you miss church all the time. Yes, I do. I'm always traveling, I'm doing something. I miss a lot of church. Got quiet. Tell you what, if you can be in church and you choose not to for a reason that's not legitimate, you get answers to God for something like that. I mean, you have to miss church sometime. I'm not saying you don't at all. But if it's not legitimate, why would you miss church? Because you don't believe God's going to speak to you. Or you don't want to hear what He's got to say. How else, what other reason would it be? Let's keep going. We're almost done. Look what she did here. She rejected God's message for her to repent. Look, the message to repent is always the message of the hour for each age. Every age is called to repent, right? She started off an antichrist, and that's what she was. She becomes a false prophet, an incarnate devil, and when she did this, her false teaching, then all of that, God gave her space to repent, tried to get her. Look, He's trying to get her to repent. Even now, look how long-suffering God is. Look how far we're going down the road into the debauchery. Look, you know, you say, well, until the cup of iniquity is overflowing. Are you going to try and tell me the cup of iniquity isn't overflowing right now? As evil as this age has become, as horrible as things are going on earth, look what the Muslims are doing around the world. Look what people are doing around the world. Look at the moral. I don't even try to tell me the cup of iniquity hasn't overflowed. And yet, He's long-suffering. He's waiting. He wants to get the very last one He can. Why? Because He don't want to send anyone to hell. He doesn't want to condemn anybody. He wants to say, everyone, please. I'm giving you a chance. I'm giving you a space to repent. I gave you the message. Please, come to me. Tried to get her. See how long suffering. What a wonderful love. There's no love like it. Look at those even that spit in His face and things. He forgave them. That's God. See, don't reject God's message. Brother, sister, if you don't have that spirit in you that forgives someone who does that, who treats you like that, please get born again or die to that, whatever it is, that idol, that self, that pride, whatever is keeping you from manifesting Christ. Someone says something evil to us, we got to flash back. We got to say something back. Someone treats us bad, we got to return the same thing. Brother and sister, that's not the spirit of Christ. Repent. He gave us an example. She was asked to repent. Go back to where she fell from. What did she fall from? The Word. What did Eve fall from? The Word. What did the denomination fall from? The Word. We're supposed to go back. Where did we fall from, messy believers? Where did we fall? We got to go back to that place where someone talked you into something else. Where someone said, well, the seals is this or this is that. And you sat there and you followed a doctrine instead of a vindicated Word. That's why we had all these camp shoots off around the message and stuff. You know, you don't see quite as much of that anymore. Someone followed off, here's the thunders, and here's Perugia, and here's whatever, and you still got some people running off to Canada, off to Texas, and all this different stuff. But you don't see it quite anymore because it became too obvious. Satan had to get more deceptive than that. He got to a point where we all get along. We all can get together. We all are friends. We are brothers and sisters now. Baloney. We are not. Do you go out and treat people different because they don't believe the way you do? Of course not. But you stand for the Word. That's all you do. Falling from the Word. What Word? Because they don't believe the message? No, the Word that was manifest. And then when you might be going along in a message church and believe it, and then God does something, and you see it, and you say, I don't like it that way. That's what happened here in Dixon, Tennessee. We were cruising along, having church and everything, and then God started shaking things up, and people started looking around and saying, I don't like the way things are going around here. But for those who he predestinated, for those who cared, for those who loved God more than their own self, for those, when Jesus said, what would you give in exchange for your soul? And you said nothing. Amen. I ain't giving nothing. Whatever it takes, I'm going through. For those people, it's become good morning, shalom, to the bride. The morning has dawned, the morning has broken, and to the world, gross darkness, but to the bride, good morning. A light has shined. Oh my, that's so sweet. Look, what was the purpose in opening the seals? To get us back to the Word. The pure Word restored so we could get the bride back to the faith of the Father. Get back to the pure Word. Why? It's a repentance. It's a repentance, but the denominations look at it and say, man, we don't need that. He got false teaching. Message believers look at it and say, we don't need that. We got the tapes. Message believers look at it, well, our pastor don't preach it that way. But where is the proof? Where is the vindication that the Word is being made flesh? Where is the light shining? It's repentance. Didn't he say in Revelation there in the Laodicean church, he said, be zealous and repent. You think you got it all together. You think you're good. You think you're going in the rapture. You think you're messing with believers. He said, be zealous and repent. Get back to the original. And the original is the Word made flesh. I know I say that every time I preach, and I probably will every time I preach from here on out. But brother and sister, if you miss that, you've missed Christ in your day. You have to recognize it. And it's not just, well, I believe that, Brother Phil, but do you recognize it? Do you see it with your own spiritual eyes? My, my, my. Without the original Word, you are committing adultery. You are mixing seed. That's why the message had to come. That's why the seals had to be opened so we would have the pure, unadulterated Word, so we would quit mixing man-made seed, man-made ideas, because we're just doing what Eve did. And brother and sister, in this age, God doesn't accept that anymore. He did down through some of the church ages, but not anymore. Repent, people. That's all God's asking us to do. It's that simple. Well, Brother Phil, I don't think I can read. I can't live this message. It's too strict. I can't follow these rules. Repent. That's all he's asking for. Amen. do all that. He'll take care of your holiness.
Oh my.
He'll take care of your healing. He'll take care of setting you free. He will deliver you from whatever you need delivered. All he wants is a repentant heart. And we approach him with our holiness. God, I'm trying so hard. He looks at you and says, I didn't ask for you to try so hard. I said, repent. Well, I want to be a Christian, but I just don't know if I can. Well, now you're an unbeliever. Don't come to Christ and say, I don't know if I can do this or not. He said, oh, I told you you could. I'm the one who does it through you. What are you disbelieving me for? Did I call you or did I not call you? Many are called. Few are chosen. Why? Because you know so many of the called ones come to God. They say, God, I want to be a Christian. I'm going to try so hard. He said, that's not what I chose. I chose Calvary. I chose Calvary. I didn't choose your attempts to please me. I didn't choose your attempts to live a holy life. I didn't choose your attempts to figure out all the mysteries in the message. I didn't choose your attempts to see how theologically smart you could become. That's your choice. I chose Calvary. Now you go to Calvary and I'll choose you. Repent. What is repentance? Look, she was given a space to repent, to go back. Repent means go back, turn back, about face. Repent, go back. But she loves her worldly lovers more than she loves Christ. She loves her worldly religion. She found out she can be a message believer by accepting Brother Branham without ever having to accept Christ. And she has worldly lovers telling her that's okay. They're very religious. They preach the message, they listen to tapes. You don't have to die to yourself. You don't have to give up your religion. You don't have to give up your idols. Just live a good life and speak good things about the prophet. Oh, you can say anything you want against a group like this because they're just an off-wash, off-scouring anyways. And God sees it different. He says, don't you touch the apple of my eye. This group? Yep. This group. And a little group over here, a little group over there, a big group over there, a few people here. That's the way God does it. You know it's true. Every message believer knows it's true, and yet we get our eyes turned on a big personality. A deep teaching, a great service, an anointed service. And we look at all these big things and all these wonderful things and things that make us good and things that entertain us. And we ignore Jesus with dirty feet sitting over in the corner. And all he's saying is, just repent. If things aren't going right in your life, if you're having trouble serving God, it takes repentance. He said, I'm wrong. I'm going to quit. I cannot believe I've preached this long. I still can't believe that. Anyways. All he wants is you to say, I'm wrong. It's the hardest word in the world. Because what happens is, God, I have tried so many times. I've tried and I've tried and I've tried and I just can't seem to do it. I just can't seem to do it. I just can't seem to do it. And he wants you to say, I've been wrong all this time. But I'm sorry, God. But are you willing to change? Are you willing to turn around? Because what you do is say, typically, I'm sorry, God, I'm going to try harder. That means you're going to try the same thing you've been doing, right? It didn't work before. It's not going to work this time. Turn back. Change the way you do things. What am I supposed to do? what he says. Believe. Repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, I tried that, Brother Phil. It didn't work for me. Then throw this whole thing out. If that didn't work, this is the biggest lie that's ever been perpetrated on mankind, this Bible. But the prophet said over and over, God always reacts to you. If you come the same way the last person did, he gave the Holy Ghost, he'll give you the same thing. You cannot come the same way the other person got it and not receive it. So obviously you're doing something wrong. He wants you to believe. Only believe. All things are possible. What do I believe, Brother Phil? What he speaks to you personally. Promise you. How do you know that's true? Because I have experienced it over and over, and so have a lot of you. So have a lot of you. It can't get much simpler than that, brother and sister. He gives us a space to repent. What is that space? He gives you the word for the hour. Say, this is my word. Now, will you follow this? Well, I don't believe it that way. That's what the repentance is about. Turn back from what you believe and accept what he says. Amen. Let's stand. Lord willing, next time we're going to speak on judgment. It's referred to a few things today a little bit. Find out that these trials and struggles and things we go through, there's several reasons for them. And one of the reasons is because you are going to be an impartial judge. And you're going to decide if people go to heaven or hell. You're going to give them life or you're going to give them death. Think of that responsibility. This isn't like sending someone to an electric chair and say, well, God, judge them. No, this is the people who went to the electric chair. Now it's coming into God's judgment. And guess who's sitting there as judge? You and me. How do you become impartial? How can you sit there and look at someone, maybe your own family, and say, they're going to hell? That boggles my mind. So that's what God has put on my heart to speak on the next time, unless he changes it again, because he does that a lot too. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful you would come and just encourage us today, Lord. And Father, you just painted a picture of this world and the condition it's in. We look around and we see the insanity. And we are so thankful, Father, that we can see that we still have a sound mind. And even though our carnal mind, our natural mind might be going crazy sometime and stressed and all kinds of things going on, sometimes it's even mental illnesses and whatever, but Lord, we know in our heart, Lord, there's a peace, there's a comfort, there's a joy. There's something rock solid that'll keep us there, and it keeps us going forward. And we're not torn up, we're not afraid of the things that Satan can bring against us, because we know that even if he kills us, even if we leave here, we know that we're going to a much better place, Lord. There's a confidence, there's something that's a rest inside of us, Lord, and we're so thankful for that. We just ask that you bless each person now as we sing some songs, Lord, and worship you a little bit. And Lord, let your spirit just come and dominate each person here and have your way among us and help us, Lord, just to surrender to you completely. We ask this in your name, Lord. Bless the ones who aren't here. Keep them safe, Lord. Bring them back home to us safe. We ask this in your name. Amen. Amen. I will praise him. I will praise him. Thank you. accepted.